Chapter 22. It is 6 o'clock. When did you eat last? Apostrophe, at noon. Apostrophe, apostrophe, what did you eat? Apostrophe, apostrophe, next to nothing. Apostrophe, apostrophe, what was on the table? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the usual things. Apostrophe, apostrophe, chops, chickens, vegetables, and so on. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. But don't mention them, I can't bear it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, are you tired of them? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, utterly. I wish I might never hear of them again. Apostrophe, the mere sight of food offends you, does it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, more, it revolts me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the doctor considered a while, then got out a long menu, and ran his eye slowly down it. I think, apostrophe, said he, that what you need to eat is but here, choose for yourself. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I glanced at the list, and my stomach threw a handspring. Of all the barbarous layouts that were ever contrived, this was the most atrocious. At the top stood tough, underdone, overdue tripe, garnished with garlic. Apostrophe, halfway down the bill stood young cat, old cat, scrambled cat. Apostrophe, at the bottom stood sailor boots, softened with tallow served raw. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the wide intervals of the bill were packed with dishes calculated to gag a cannibal. I said, Doctor, it is not fair to joke over so serious a case as mine. I came here to get an appetite, not to throw away the remnant that's left. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said gravely. I am not joking, why should I joke? Apostrophe, apostrophe, but I can't eat these horrors. Apostrophe, apostrophe, why not? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said it with a naivety that was admirable, whether it was real or assumed. Why not? Because, why, doctor, for months I have seldom been able to endure anything more substantial than omelets and custards. These unspeakable dishes of yours, apostrophe, oh, you will come to like them. They are very good. And you must eat them. It is a rule of the place, and it's strict. I cannot permit any departure from it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I said smiling. Well then, doctor, you will have to permit the departure of the patient. I am going. Apostrophe, he looked hurt, and said in a way which changed the aspect of things. I am sure you would not do me that injustice. I accepted you in good faith, you will not shame that confidence. This appetite cures my whole living. If you should go forth from it with the sort of appetite which you now have, it could become known, and you can see, yourself, that people would say my cure failed in your case, and hence can fail in other cases. You will not go. You will not do me this hurt. Apostrophe, I apologized and said I would stay. That is right. I was sure you would not go. It would take the food from my family's mouths. Apostrophe, apostrophe, would they mind that? Do they eat these fiendish things? Apostrophe, they? My family? Apostrophe, his eyes were full of gentle wonder. Of course not. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, they don't. Do you? Apostrophe, certainly not. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I see. It's another case of a physician who doesn't take his own medicine. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't need it. It is 6 hours since you lunched. Will you have supper now or later? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am not hungry, but now is as good a time as any, and I would like to be done with it, and have it off my mind. It is about my usual time, and regularity is commanded by all the authorities. Yes, I will try to nibble a little now. I wish a light horse whipping would answer instead. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the professor handed me that odious menu. Choose or will you have it later? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, dear me, show me to my room. I forgot your hard rule. Apostrophe, apostrophe, wait just a moment before you finally decide. There is another rule. If you choose now, the order will be filled at once. But if you wait, you will have to await my pleasure. You cannot get a dish from that entire bill until I consent. Apostrophe, apostrophe, all right. Show me to my room, and send the cook to bed. There is not going to be any hurry. The professor took me up one flight of stairs, and showed me into a most inviting and comfortable apartment consisting of parlor, bedchamber, and bathroom. The front windows looked out over a far-reaching spread of green glades and valleys, and tumbled hills clothed with forests, a noble solitude unvexed by the fussy world. In the parlor were many shelves filled with books. The professor said he would now leave me to myself, and added, "Smoke and read as much as you please, drink all the water you like. When you get hungry, ring and give your order, and I will decide whether it shall be filled or not. Yours is a stubborn bad case, and I think the first 14 dishes in the bill are each and all too delicate for its needs. I ask you as a favor to restrain yourself, and not call for them." Restrain myself, is it? Give yourself no uneasiness. You are going to save money by me. The idea of coaxing a sick man's appetite back with this buzzard fare is clear insanity. I said it with bitterness, for I felt outraged by this calm, cold talk over these heartless new engines of assassination. The doctor looked grieved, but not offended. He laid the bill of fare of the commode at my bed's head, so that it would be handy, and said, "Yours is not the worst case I have encountered, by any means. Still it is a bad one and requires robust treatment. Therefore I shall be gratified if you will restrain yourself and skip down to number 15, and begin with that." Then he left me, and I began to undress, for I was dog-tired and very sleepy. I slept 15 hours, and woke up finally refreshed at 10 the next morning. Vienna coffee. It was the first thing I thought of, that unapproachable luxury, that sumptuous coffee house coffee, compared with which all other European coffee, and all American hotel coffee is mere fluid poverty. I rang, and ordered it. Also Vienna bread, that delicious invention. The servant spoke through the wicket in the door and said, but you know what he said. He referred me to the bill of fare. I allowed him to go, I had no further use for him. After the bath I dressed and started for a walk, and got as far as the door. It was locked on the outside. I rang, and the servant came and explained that it was another rule. The seclusion of the patient was required until after the first meal. I had not been particularly anxious to get out before, but it was different now. Being locked in makes a person wishful to get out. I soon began to find it difficult to put in the time. At 2 o'clock I had been 26 hours without food. I had been growing hungry for some time. I recognized that I was not only hungry now, but hungry with a strong adjective in front of it. Yet I was not hungry enough to face the bill of fare. I must put in the time somehow. I would read and smoke. I did it, hour by hour. The books were all of one breed: shipwrecks, people lost in deserts, people shut up in caved-in mines, people starving in besieged cities. I read about all the revolting dishes that ever famishing men had stayed their hunger with. During the first hours these things nauseated me. Hours followed in which they did not so affect me. Still other hours followed in which I found myself smacking my lips over some tolerably infernal messes. When I had been without food 45 hours I ran eagerly to the bell, and ordered the second dish in the bill, which was a sort of dumplings containing a compost made of caviar and tar. It was refused me. During the next 15 hours I visited the bell every now and then and ordered a dish that was further down the list. All was a refusal. But I was conquering prejudice after prejudice. Right along, I was making sure progress. I was creeping up on number 15 with deadly certainty, and my heart beat faster and faster, my hopes rose higher and higher. At last, when food had not passed my lips for 60 hours, victory was mine, and I ordered No. 15. Soft-boiled spring chicken in the egg. 6 dozen, hot and fragrant. In 15 minutes it was there. And the doctor along with it, rubbing his hands with joy. he said with great excitement. It's a cure, it's a cure. I knew I could do it. Dear sir, my grand system never failed, never. You've got your appetite back, you know you have. Say it and make me happy. Apostrophe, apostrophe, bring on your carrion, I can eat anything in the bill. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, this is noble, this is splendid, but I knew I could do it, the system never fails. How are the birds? Apostrophe, never was anything so delicious in the world, and yet as a rule I don't care for game. But don't interrupt me, don't, I can't spare my mouth, I really can't. Apostrophe, apostrophe, then the doctor said. The cure is perfect. There is no more doubt nor danger. Let the poultry alone. I can trust you with a beefsteak now. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the beefsteak came as much as a basketful of it with potatoes, and Vienna bread and coffee, and I ate a meal then that was worth all the costly preparation I had made for it. And dripped tears of gratitude into the gravy all the time. Gratitude to the doctor for putting a little plain common sense into me when I had been empty of it so many, many years. 2, 30 years ago, Hamburger went off on a long voyage in a sailing ship. There were 15 passengers on board. The table fare was of the regulation pattern of the day. At 7 in the morning, a cup of bad coffee in bed. At 9, breakfast. Bad coffee, with condensed milk, soggy rolls, crackers, salt fish. At 1 p.m., luncheon. Cold tongue, cold ham, cold corned beef, soggy cold rolls, crackers. 5 p.m., dinner. Thick pea soup, salt fish, hot corned beef and sauerkraut, boiled pork and beans, pudding. 9 till 11 p.m., supper. Tea, with condensed milk, cold tongue, cold ham, pickles, sea biscuit, pickled oysters, pickled pig's feet, grilled bones, golden buck. At the end of the first week eating had ceased, nibbling had taken its place. The passengers came to the table, but it was partly to put in the time, and partly because the wisdom of the ages commanded them to be regular in their meals. They were tired of the coarse and monotonous fare, and took no interest in it, had no appetite for it. All day and every day they roamed the ship half-hungry, plagued by their gnawing stomachs, moody, untalkative, miserable. Among them were 3 confirmed dyspeptics. These became shadows in the course of 3 weeks. There was also a bedridden invalid. He lived on boiled rice. He could not look at the regular dishes. Now came shipwrecks and life in open boats, with the usual paucity of food. Provisions ran lower and lower. The appetites improved, then. When nothing was left, but raw ham and the ration of that was down to 2 ounces a day per person, the appetites were perfect. At the end of 15 days the dyspeptics, the invalid, and the most delicate ladies in the party were chewing sailor boots in ecstasy, and only complaining, because the supply of them was limited. Yet these were the same people who couldn't endure the ship's tedious corned beef, and sauerkraut and other crudities. They were rescued by an English vessel. Within 10 days the whole 15 were in as good condition as they had been when the shipwreck occurred. They had suffered no damage by their adventure, apostrophe said the professor. Do you note that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, do you note it well? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, I think I do. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but you don't. You hesitate. You don't rise to the importance of it. I will say it again with emphasis, not one of them suffered any damage. Apostrophe, apostrophe, now I begin to see. Yes, it was indeed remarkable. Apostrophe, nothing of the kind. It was perfectly natural. There was no reason why they should suffer damage. They were undergoing nature's appetite cure, the best and wisest in the world. Apostrophe, apostrophe, is that where you got your idea? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that is where I got it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it taught those people a valuable lesson. Apostrophe, apostrophe, what makes you think that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why shouldn't I? You seem to think it's taunty one. Apostrophe, that is nothing to the point. I am not a fool. Apostrophe, I see. Were they fools? Apostrophe, they were human beings. Apostrophe, apostrophe, is it the same thing? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why do you ask? You know it yourself. As regards his health and the rest of the things, the average man is what his environment and his superstitions have made him, and their function is to make him an ass. He can't add up three or four new circumstances together and perceive what they mean. It is beyond him. He is not capable of observing for himself. He has to get everything at second hand. If what are miscalled the lower animals were as silly as man is, they would all perish from the earth in a year. Apostrophe, apostrophe, those passengers learned no lesson then. Apostrophe, apostrophe, not a sign of it. They went to their regular meals in the English ship, and pretty soon they were nibbling again, nibbling, appetiteless, disgusted with the food, moody, miserable, half-hungry, their outraged stomachs cursing and swearing and whining and supplicating all day long. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.